right, well, good morning, everyone. I don't usually wear a suit, so this is a little bit odd. We're going to do Lord's Supper today, and it's kind of one of those things that we like to honor the Lord's Supper when we have it and kind of dress up a little bit as the leaders. We're going to talk today about the series we're on, I Love My Church. We kind of started with this thought of not just why is God important, but why is church important? Why is church important? Because I think if we went out into the world right now and asked people in Waller, Texas, is God important? I think you're going to find that most people in their own way will say yes. They will say absolutely, the guy upstairs is important, a higher power is important, or even the Christian God. Yeah, I asked Jesus into my heart at Vacation Bible School when I was a young person, but just I've gotten away from church. They will answer this. They will say God is important. But what we see in America, we see in Waller, Texas, we see at Waller Baptist Church is for some reason they're not sure the church is important. They're not sure the church is important. So we just said, let's get this down with us so that we can go out and tell people why church is important. Why church is important. Last week, we kind of had this this phrase, and to me it was the most important phrase last week, was that really when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, there's two yeses. There's yes to Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and I want you to exchange your righteousness for my sin. I want to be able to have an eternal relationship with you. But then God asked us a next question, a question after, will you ask me to be your Lord and Savior? And that second yes that we need to make is, are you willing to be part of my church, my bride, that I've left here on earth to tell everybody else about me? Are you willing to love others? Do you love me? And are you going to say yes to loving others? And so last week, that was our first point, that community inside of a church is a key to growing as a Christian. If you just believe that there is a God, if you just believe in Jesus, you're going to get to heaven. You're going to get there for if you believe in Jesus, but you're going to miss out on growing as a Christian if you're not involved in a body of believers, in community, in fellowship. If we don't believe that, we're not going to grow as a church, because this is just something we've always done. This is just something that we kind of do on Sunday. It's what my grandparents did. It's what my parents did. So last week we talked about loving. So I want to take it a little bit deeper this time. And I'm going to say there's a step beyond just loving. And that step is serving. Serving others. A real simple definition of serving others is to say my actions are going to be actions that show I am thinking more of you and less of me. Real simple, right? I'm going to think more of you, and my actions are going to show that, and I'm going to, in thinking more of you, I have to think less of me. A lot of times we flip that around, right? In church, we become kind of a church where we think, okay, what can I get out of this? And it makes sense. I want to think about how I can grow and how I can do things, and somehow or another, we get to that point where we're thinking more of me when I come to church, and less of others, and we've got to flip that. I heard a joke this week. It went something like this, that a husband and a wife were at home, and the wife said, honey, she said, listen, he's sitting there, you know, he got his feet up, you know, watching TV. She said, honey, she said, something is wrong. We got to fix it. And he said, what's wrong? And he said, well, my dad is paying for our house. She said, my mom is coming over and doing all the stuff around the house that you're supposed to do. My sister is letting us borrow her car. She said, this just can't keep going. We've got to fix this. And he said, you know, you're right. How dare your brothers not kick in and help us? And it's that thought of this guy, you know, he's thinking more of himself than he is of others. And sometimes we do that in church. You know, what y'all need to do more for me here. You need to do more. There needs to be more classes and better seats, and there needs to be things that I like going on, and if not, I'm not going to come. It's a bad time. It's a bad this. Yeah, whatever it is. Serving is the answer to that. Serving is the answer to us trying to flip that in our mind. You know, when God puts a sermon on my heart sometimes, I know. He wants to make sure I understand it, right? And that's what this week has been all about for me. You know, I've had to say it's more about mom and dad this week than it is about me. And then while I was sitting there with mom and dad, I watched a hospital staff. I know they're paid, but do things that more than what they're getting paid for to take care of my dad. Because they had this attitude of it's more about others than it is about me. And then this morning, as so many of you have sent me text and prayed for me on the spot, and then just even here, you know, just that thought of y'all worried more about me than you are about yourself and your actions showing that. And so this morning, what I'm going to do is we're just going to do a top 10. A top 10 reasons why you should desire to serve. We are going to try to finish at 11:25 so that we can do Lord's Supper. And I'm so excited that God picked Lord's Supper Sunday. We didn't plan it to talk about service. So if we don't make it through all 10 of the points, I'm just going to stop at 10:25. And all you people out there that if you're going, you said 10 points and you didn't give me 10 points, I'll put them on the internet, okay? I'll put them, you will be able to fill in all 10 of them. But we're going to stop. But number 10 is going to be talking about why the Lord's Supper is important. So we might hit 6 and just jump on. But I'll try to move fast. Hey, we're going to go through multiple scriptures in the New Testament. Multiple scriptures. Every point is going to have a scripture. I've got them written down so I don't have to take the time to flip. I'll encourage you to do the same thing. I'll read them. Maybe by the time you flip to them, I'll already be on to the next point. So if you want to just write down the address, you know, that's cool, and come back and look at it later. We can put that on the internet too. All right, here we go. Top 10 reasons why the Bible says you should serve. Number one is that you were created for service. Oh, that's beautiful. Ephesians 2:10. Paul is going through this argument where people say, what must I do to be saved? You know, what kind of works do I need to do? How can I work my way to heaven? And Paul says, you got it backwards. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't serve your way to heaven. But he says, here's the interesting thing that God did. God says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. He said, it's not work your way into heaven. It says, once you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you can now do the works that God created you, not to gain something, but to grow and to partner with what God has laid out for you. He said, the second you were saved, the second you were created, God said, I am creating you, and I'm going to give you certain things, and I'm going to lay out some good works for you to do. And when you get saved, I'm going to give you everything you need along with what I've already created you to be to serve. That means every single person in here, when God knitted you together in your mother's womb, he already knew what you were going to need to serve. And he put it in there. And right now, no matter if you are 1 year old or 101, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that you were created to serve. So why should you serve? God created you that way. Let's go on to number two. Number two, I am saved for service. I am saved. In fact, we put it up there. Saved people serve people. Saved people serve people. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. He said this. He said, He saved us for His purposes. He said, I've got a purpose in this world. And I've already put gifts in your life when I created you. And now, as soon as you're saved, I'm saving you so that you can start running with those gifts that I've given you. Now, this answers a question that I know a lot of you have from time to time. Maybe you don't say it, but I know I've thought it. I probably thought it this week. You know, God, this world is hard. Is your life hard? And sometimes we just go, I've already been saved. Why don't you just zap me on up to heaven? Wouldn't that be easier? I'm serious. If God would just say, you know, as soon as, well, I don't know if that would be good for us or bad for us, getting people to come get saved. But if as soon as they got saved here on the front row, just kind of like Star Trek, you know, and God just beams them up. But that would make sense if it was just one yes in our life. If it was just, I got to get you to say yes to Jesus, then why not God just zap you on up to heaven? And here's the reason. He said, I have saved you because I've got some purpose in your life. I've got some things. I'm going to let you be a part of what I'm doing. And if you're still here on earth, my dad with dementia in the hospital, battling diabetes, is still here on earth, that means that he still has a purpose. And you still have a purpose. God saved you to serve. And if there's nothing else, you know, we could stop right there. You were created to serve. You got left here because God's got a plan to use you in this beautiful story that started in Genesis, ends in Revelation, and you're part of it. But we're going to keep going. I got number three reason. Not only am I saved to serve, but I'm called to serve. I'm called to serve. In fact, it said it in the 2 Timothy. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. But in Ephesians 4:1, it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge. This is Paul saying, this is an extremely powerful word in the Greek. He said, everything I got. If I could get one thing through your brains. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. He said, if you are living a life, you've got to connect it that you're called to serve. You got to connect it to you have a calling. You know, a lot of times as a pastor, you go, Blake, why did you come to church here, to preach here? Because I felt called to it. And we kind of give that as a ministry term, but it's not a ministry term. It's a Christian term of saying that God has called us out from all the people of the world, and you have a calling on your life to serve Him. You were created to serve. You were saved to serve. You were called to serve. In fact, let me give you one more on called to serve. Galatians 1:14 through 16. Here's Paul talking about how he was called. He said, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He said, I was working. I was working hard. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, he said, I was created to serve, right? Who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal the Son in me so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. My immediate response was not to consult anybody else. He said, man, as soon as I figured it out, I got a purpose. There's a reason I was called out. There was a reason each person in here was called to be a Christian. Each one of us. And sometimes we get so bogged down in this world that we live in, we forget that. We forget that we were, you're called to be, if you're a school teacher, you're called to bring light into that school system. If you're a businessman, you are called to bring light into your business. If you live in a neighborhood, you are called to bring light into that neighborhood. If you are retired and you've got family, you are called to bring light into your family. We all have a calling on our life. And the more we get this down, that my life isn't just a purposeless, meaningless thing, but God has left me here to serve others. You were created for service. You were saved for service. You are called to service. Number four, something God's been talking to me about a bunch. Woo! I am gifted for service. Oh, that's beautiful. One of my key verses now, probably the last 2 years, is each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It says here that, we got to spend a lot of time on this, so I'm not going to have it this morning. I'll have to preach on this some other time. But I can't tell you how important it is to learn about our spiritual gifts. I can't tell you about how important it is for us to learn about our spiritual gifts. That's something you need to study. That's something you need to dive into. You kind of say, Blake, I've done the test before, and then, blah, blah, blah. Now, I mean, we really need to understand this. That God, when we were saved, sent the Holy Spirit into us, and the Holy Spirit has uniquely gifted, more than just what God did when you were created. You might say, well, teaching is a gift. Well, I know a lot of teachers who aren't saved. I know a lot of speakers who aren't saved. But some people, when they're saved, the Holy Spirit supernaturally ups. Sometimes it's something you've already got. Sometimes it's something totally new in you. I wrote it down like this. Every person in here is a superhero. Isn't that wonderful? If I'd had time, I thought about going buying me one of those Superman t-shirts and right here do one of these things. The Clark Kent inside the phone booth. But it's true. Each one of you in here has been supernaturally gifted with something for the body of Christ. It's not always teaching. It's not always speaking. Some of it is hosting and being caring about people, and some of it is service in such ways, evangelism, going out and telling people about Christ. There's just all these different superpowers that you have. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to do anything else but your superpower, right? We're all supposed to share Christ. We're all supposed to teach at different times. But some of us have been given special powers. And I love, that we've got so many superhero teams in our world right now, that we learn about the Avengers and the Justice League, because it is that thought in here. It's not just your superpowers. It's us together as a team. It's us working together as a team. If every person in here was fully using the spiritual gift that God gave you, then our church would be, it would be just like a beautiful engine out of one of those Porsches or Ferraris or something. It would just be perfectly tuned in everything we have. What's your spiritual gift? We'll talk about it more later, but I'll tell you, here's one way to check it real quick. What are you passionate about? Or really, what are you complaining about? If you're complaining about something, more than likely you have a special attention to that. And that's, with that special attention, you need to be serving in that area. You need to get on that. So let's go over what we've said so far. You were created to serve. You were saved to serve. You were called to serve. You were gifted to serve. And listen, here's a big one. You're commanded to serve. You're commanded. Here's what Matthew 20, 26 through 28 says. Jesus is talking, and he looked at his disciples. He said, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must." Jesus said must. That's a command word. He said, you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave. And just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Listen, it's just flat out. Jesus said, if you want to get what I desire for you to have, I desire for you to have a Christian life that's just flowing over, that others can see. If you want that Christian life, here's my command to you, serve. I don't know where to serve. Great, just start anywhere. I love people that just say, put me in, coach, right? Come to me and say, hey, Blake, I don't know where, but I feel like I need to serve. Jesus commanded me to serve, and you know, therefore, put me in, coach. New Living Translation, what they did with that word, I haven't really studied in the Greek, but I love what they said. He said, you have to have the attitude of a servant. Attitude of a servant. You know, it's not just saying, okay, you know, I'm going to serve so I can get more, because what, that's more of me and less of you. It's saying, I'm going to have that attitude of saying, yes, I love you, God, and yes, I love others, and I'm going to put others first. I'm going to have the right attitude. If you serve with the wrong attitude, it's not going to help. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, it'll help some. I appreciate the service. It'll get some things done. But if we want to have a life-giving church, I need everybody modeling an attitude of service. I won't say the name because I don't want to embarrass them this morning, but you probably know once I say this. Saturday, I'd let Mom go home and get some rest Friday and Saturday, and I was up there with Dad. We were going to put him under to do a test, and you know, there's always that fear when someone goes under anesthesia that, you know, something could happen. Mom said, I want to be up there. I want to be up there before Dad goes into the procedure. And she left her phone. She's like me. She left her phone at the hospital when she left. And so I'm communicating with Mom over Facebook on her laptop, which means it doesn't really ring that loud. She's half deaf anyway. And, oh, well, she's probably watching this. I love you, Mama. You know, I'm just kind of going, how am I going to make sure she's awake? Because she wants to be up here. She wants to be up here with Daddy. And so I called the neighbors. And I'm just going to say their name, Roy and Deborah. I love you guys. They help take care of Mom and Dad just being across the street. So I call Roy, and I said, well, I didn't call him. I texted him. I said, hey, y'all up? You know, it's early on Saturday morning. I'm going, most people sleep in. I've been called out a couple of times of calling people at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning because I'm just up, and I figure everybody else is too. So I texted him and said, hey, are y'all up? And if you are, could you just go over and make sure Mom's awake? I said, could you kind of tap on the door or something? And they said, sure, no problem, which is just that servant heart that they have. But when Mom got up there, I said, so were you up? You know, were you awake? Rebecca, it came with her. When they walked out, I said, were you awake? And Mama said, oh, yeah, I was awake. But, you know, Deborah came over to make sure I was awake. And then she told me, she said, now, have you had breakfast yet? And Mom said, well, no, I haven't had breakfast. She said, don't worry, Roy's cooking it for you right now. And boy, Roy, that meant so much to me when Mom said that. Because I know that family has this attitude of not just, you know, what am I asked to do? But is there a need or just a way that I could show you I love you by doing something extra? Doing something extra. It's that attitude of service. When Jesus said we must serve, it's not just a grudging service, right? If we want to break that ceiling in our life where we don't feel like we have purpose, where we go, I don't really understand God, why my Christian life isn't growing, that's the key. The key is to have an attitude of serving. Boy, if we had, can you imagine if every one of us in here, and oh, I felt it this morning. Let me go back. I'm not pointing any fingers this morning. I felt loved this morning. I felt served this morning. And if we can just have that every Sunday for every person in this room, and I know that's hard, and I know that I don't even do that, but if we can you imagine that kind of church? We just said, how can I do less for me and more for you? But when we do that, suddenly someone else is going, oh, well, I'm going to do more for you because you're doing more for others. It's a beautiful thing. I'm gifted to serve. I'm commanded to serve. Oh, yeah, I told you we get to about number six. Listen, we're going to hit six, and we're going to skip down to number nine. Number six, my church family needs me to serve. My church family needs me to serve. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Get that picture. If you are here this morning, if you say Waller Baptist Church is my church, if you're a member, if you're someone that just shows up every week, it doesn't matter. There's not some kind of special little certificate that makes you're here and you're part of the family. If you're here, then you are part of a body, right? Part of a body. Which part of my body should I just cut off because it's not important? Which part of your body do you want to cut off because it's not important? That belly? Thank you very much. All right. Touche. It's true. What part of the body that God has given you should you... but coming back to it, woo! Listen, every piece is important, right? I mean, I remember reading, I can't remember who it was. I remember a quarterback in the NFL that broke his little toe. Broke his little toe. He was a quarterback making millions of dollars throwing a football. And that toe healed wrong. And he was never able to get back up to the level he was ever again throwing that football. Isn't that amazing, just a little toe? All, every part. If we're missing any part of our body, if any part of our body is saying, oh, I don't want to serve. So here's what I want you to do right now. Turn to somebody in here and say, I am special. Yeah, not special, but, you know, special. I'm special. Because you are. You're a special part. If you're here today, you're a special part of the body. Listen, the biggest multi-million dollar store that you've got. Let's see if this works out for any of you in your mind. How many of you have been to a Super Walmart, an HEB, a Sam's Club? Have you been to these big stores? I mean, millions of dollars they pour into these stores. Millions of dollars. I walk in there, you know, just all the stuff that has to happen, right? And I get in there, and it's a little bit late at night, and I've got my cart, and I come up to the front, and I look across the 50 checkout aisles, and there is one register open. It completely throws off my shopping experience. Because they have this multi-million dollar planned in-action store, but they don't have people serving to make it work. And that's what it is with the body of Christ. We've got the truth. We've got leadership. We've got activities. But if we only have one cash register open, because people aren't serving, people will come in here and they'll go, wow, I love everything, but I just didn't feel loved. Just didn't feel like they were expecting me because there was only one cash register aisle open. But they can go do the self-serve. Anybody like the self-serve? Not me. I'll read them to you so we get out of here. 7 was served because I owe everything to the Lord. Amen. That was Romans 12:1. The point on that is a dangerous prayer is to pray this in the morning. God, watch this. What can I do for you today? God, what can I do for you today? How many times do you do that? Most of the time it's, God, what can you do for me today? What if we had the spirit of saying, God, what can I do for you? Number 8, serving makes my life meaningful. Amen. For whoever wants to be to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. When you serve, your life has meaning to it. Thank you for all of you who serve. Thank you. And number nine, one day I will be held accountable for the service that I do. One day I will be held accountable. And you might say, hey, when I'm held accountable, I'm going to look at God and I'm going to say, yeah, I didn't serve anybody, but Jesus died for me. And God's going to say, well, that's okay. And in a sense, yeah, but 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 15, got to read it. Peter says this, if anyone builds on this foundation of being saved, that's your first yes, right? First yes. So anybody that builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, if anybody just really says, I've got the foundation of Jesus, now I'm going to say the second yes, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do and serve and love others. Anybody that does that, or the other choice, you can build it with wood, hay, and straw. Wood, hay, and straw. So I'm going to do the least amount that I can do to get by. Verse 13, he says, their work, did y'all catch that word? He just said the gold, silver, and stones compared to the wood, hay, and straw is the service that we do, the work that we do after we're saved. Their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. This is that we're all going to enter into heaven, and God's going to say, hey, I created you, I called you, I saved you, I equipped you, I put you in a church. What did you do with that? And he's going to look at this foundation of Jesus Christ. He's going to say, you're good, but let's put the fire test to what you did after that. And a bunch of us are just going to be going, whoa! Now we're still in heaven, and everything's going to be wonderful and beautiful, but that one moment, I don't want that moment. I want to say, God, I said the second yes to you. I said the second yes. I said I'm going to love a people, and I'm going to serve people, and he's going to set the fire to, and he said, yeah, look at the gold and the silver and the precious stones that you were able to build some. Thank you, my good and faithful servant. Now, we're going to go into the Lord's Supper. So as we do that, I'm going to tell you what number 10 is. Number 10 is we need to serve because Jesus is our model and Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our model and Jesus is our Lord. Luke 22:19 says, and he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance. Jesus said, I want you to remember one thing. Well, he wants you to remember a lot, but he said, I'm going to focus on one thing here. And he said, I want you to remember what I did at the cross. I want you to remember that. Now, there's several reasons to remember it, right? But you're already saved. You already said yes to it, so you're not remembering it to be saved. I think part of the remembering is to say, I'm looking at what Jesus modeled. He said, less of me and more of you. Here's my body. I'm not going to use my body for me. I'm going to use my body for you. Here's my blood. I'm not going to use my blood for me. I'm going to use it to create a new covenant with you. And so today, instead of having a visual illustration, our visual illustration is going to be the Lord's Supper. This week, your challenge is to live your life in remembrance of how Jesus lived his life. Less of me and more of others. And as we do that together, this beautiful masterpiece of a painting of a church will emerge. Right now, I want to call my deacons forward. A lot of times people say, who are the deacons of this church? Most of them are wearing suits today. Some of them might not have gotten the notice. But if you're a deacon in our church, a deacon in Waller Baptist Church, I just kind of want to see. These guys have been called out as servants. That's kind of the meaning of deacons. So guys, if y'all, some of them might sit on the front row. If y'all might want to squeeze together a little bit so there'll be some room. So I wanted you to see our deacons at Waller Baptist Church, our servant leaders. And as I pray over what we're fixing to do here, these men, if you ever need anything, these are the guys to come up talk to call on, to ask for prayer. Let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of the Lord's Supper, God, I just pray that, God, you just help us to see that everything you did, every sacrifice you made, was because how deeply you loved us. God, I ask you just to let us be silent, and just for a second, think about the cross. You didn't have to do that, but you wanted to. God, help us just for a second to be silent and think about what it cost to pay for our sins. God, as we go into this time, just bring that thought back and back and back. Do this in remembrance of me. In Jesus' name, amen.